Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Emory-Riddle Aeronautical University's worldwide campus, where students can launch or accelerate careers in aerospace, business, engineering, or applied science. More at erau.edu/ww.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage.
At a July 15 Orange County Commission meeting, Leonard Antman, CFO of Lynx, the public transit system serving Orange, Seminole, and Osceola counties, presented its budget for the next year.
The fiscal year 27 budget is coming in at $226.8 million. That's a 4.5% increase.
While Orange County transit services are seeing increases in ridership commensurate to the growth in the county, Lynx services have seen a marked decline in ridership in Seminole County and cut the routes least used, resulting in only 5 fixed routes left in the county. Despite the reduced service, the fees paid by Seminole County to Lynx are going up. Late last year, Seminole County initiated their Scout program, a microtransit system that works like rideshare. Passengers are picked up at their location of preference instead of a bus stop or transit hub. While it got off to a rocky start with riders complaining of long waits, Seminole County Commissioner Amy Lockhart says they've ironed out those problems. Lockhart and some of her fellow commissioners feel Scout could be successful enough for the county to sever their relationship with Lynx. That would require a lot of red tape, a lot of votes, and rewriting a state law requiring Lynx to service those 3 counties. Despite the hurdles, Seminole County leaders and residents are tired of paying for higher Lynx funding fees while bus routes have been reduced to 5. Tiffany Homler Hawkins is the CEO of the Central Florida Regional Transportation Authority, also known as Lynx. In speaking with Engage yesterday, she explained why the transit system is seeking a budget increase and where the extra money is going.
The majority of the increase is our paratransit, and I'm rounding numbers, it's about 5% over the FY26 budget. But paratransit costs because it is our most vulnerable population, our special needs. That cost is always on the rise. And it's not just at Lynx, it's across the nation. Paratransit costs are going up, but the Lynx per trip cost is one of the lowest in the state of Florida. Salaries and wages are remaining flat. Healthcare is always an increase, and our funding partners are experiencing the same. It's about 8 to 10% increase in medical. So I think we've done a really good job at controlling the budget. And, you know, the way that Lynx is funded is way different than any other transit agency in the state or across the nation. And that 92% of our local funding comes from property taxes.
The impact of possible property tax reduction or elimination, what are the discussions within Lynx about those cuts and where could they happen?
We're constantly evaluating the routes as far as the efficiency and the effectiveness, but we rank our routes. It's a weighted system. There are routes that are low performers depending on what criteria, you know, some folks have a fare box recovery criteria, some have a ridership criteria, some have an economic development, does it serve the tourism corridor criteria? We don't know what the percentage will be, but we are looking at, there will be routes that go away. There could be changes in how we deliver the paratransit service. This region, Orange, Osceola, Seminole County, for the last 30 years have provided paratransit service at a level that is above and beyond what is mandated by the federal government as well as the state programs that we run. So there will be impacts if this passes. It's just to what degree. I think all of the cities and counties across the state, you know, they know there's going to be impacts. They've already done the, you know, here's what it is. If it's 150,000 homestead exemption, 250,000 homestead exemption, what that impact is to the city and county budgets ultimately will trickle down to what is that impact ultimately to the Lynx budget.
You mentioned Seminole and Osceola counties in addition to Orange County. Can you talk about how the funding breaks down between those 3 counties?
So the way the Lynx funding model works is the service hours are allocated by county. And for fiscal year 26, the majority of the service is in Orange County. I believe the number is something like 87%. The service hours in Orange County, about 11% in Osceola County, and about 3% in Seminole. That is the number of service hours. We have about 1 million service hours a year, and the service hours are the buses actually running within the county boundaries.
One of the concerns coming out of Seminole County is that they are seeing an increase of their links fees and a decrease of services within the county. What do you say to Seminole County commissioners who are arguing that links is passing the cost increases in Orange County off onto Seminole County?
I was obviously at the budget hearing and I heard those comments. You know, the funding model was voted on by the links board. The changes to the funding model were voted on by the links board, and the vote was unanimous, and that included the vote on Seminole County from Seminole County. So this is something that had been talked about since last year when Seminole decided to reduce their service. So no alternative was proposed, and staff made a recommendation, and it was vetted through several committees and then ultimately voted on by the board.
What would it mean for Lynx as a regional transportation provider if Seminole County were to withdraw its agreement completely with Lynx and lean on their Scout micro transit program?
Each county decides on the level of service that they want to have. So when Seminole County decided to cut fixed route service and in favor of Scout's micro transit, that's their prerogative. The Lynx legislation just sets up our board. It doesn't identify how it's funded. It doesn't identify that there is a minimum contribution by the funding partners. So that is a regional discussion. That's a Lynx board discussion that may happen in the near future. So we have had this board structure for over 20 years. And there have been comments on all sides about, do we need to relook at the Lynx board structure? And those are regional decisions that need to be discussed.
Why should people who don't ride Lynx care about how it is funded?
I think because it provides just alternatives, right? We have some of our population is aging and probably shouldn't be driving. We have generations coming up that don't want to drive, and we need to be able to provide those options and not just rely on cars and roads. The old conversation used to be, well, it has to be a road or transit. Well, it's not an either or, it's an and. You know, the buses are rolling on the roads. We need good roads. And how do we manage that? So I would rather talk about it as a transportation ecosystem, because they all work together. And it's providing options. It's like a bike lane. I may not use it, but I see people in bike lanes all the time. It all works together.
Tiffany Homler-Hawkins is the CEO of Lynx. Across the county line in Seminole, Amy Lockhart is wearing two hats. One is a county commissioner, and another is a board member of Lynx. She'd like to see Seminole County engaged in a successful partnership with Lynx, but she isn't sure Seminole residents and taxpayers are getting their money's worth from the deal.
The perceived dollar value of Lynx for the fixed route and paratransit, I think it depends on who you're asking. I think if you are someone who uses paratransit and it is absolutely necessary for you to function in our society, there is a very high dollar associated with that. Obviously, if you're someone who isn't transportation dependent, it's a low dollar value. And I think that's one of the challenges with funding transportation everywhere, is that those who pay for it through subsidies, through their property taxes, are typically not the people who need it the most. And so those who need it the most are typically not the ones who pay for it the most. So I think there's an inherent imbalance in the perception of the value.
Members of the Seminole County Commission have accused Lynx of increasing fees on the county as a punitive measure for developing the Scout program. Do you see that way?
I believe that they are looking for ways to modify the formula so that they continue to extract more dollars from Seminole County, just not through the fixed route methodology that we had. So whether it was an intentional, punitive, ill-conceived plan, I would never accuse another entity partner of that, but I would say that there is certainly the perception that when we were told that the way that we could economize our costs for links for our taxpayers in Seminole County, the way that we were given to do that was to cut routes. So we cut our underperforming routes and we saved a significant amount of money by doing that. And then the subsequent fiscal year, we were told that the formula was now changing and now we were going to be picking up more of the administrative costs from the paratransit, which ultimately means that we're not saving as much money as we originally were intending to save. So I do not believe that someone sat at Lynx and intentionally thought, how do we get Seminole County in a negative, punitive way? But it had that impact on our budget. We were not giving them as much money from fixed route, and the way that they were able to determine to continue to subsidize their budget from Seminole County was to change the formula.
Is the Scout microtransit program filling all those gaps from the cut Lynx routes?
Yeah, it is more than filling the gap. We are providing public transportation to more people than we ever did with fixed route links. We have over 1,000 people a day utilizing Scout in places in the county that never had access to public transportation before. You know, with a fixed route, you have to go to the transportation. With microtransit, the transportation comes to you. So no one has to walk to a bus stop. No one has to stand in the rain at a bus stop or figure out a way late at night in the dark to get home or to work from the bus stop. They're picked up at their front door and they are dropped off where they need to be. It's an entire paradigm shift in the way that we're delivering public transportation in Seminole County.
Can Scout provide a 100% replacement for Lynx service?
It can.
Where would that put Seminole County then in the narrative of regional transportation?
Well, I think that we have connections to Orange. Of course, we've never had a bus type transportation to Volusia County. You know, that's our closest neighbor to the north. And we've maintained great regional relationship transportation-wise with Volusia through SunRail. The way that we have a hub at UCF for anyone, whether it's faculty or staff or people who want to get on campus, the UCF campus in Oviedo, we have a hub there. And then our ideal situation is that anybody who wants to get down to Orange County, Osceola County, get up to Volusia, is to take them to a SunRail station and have them utilize our fantastic rail transit in the region.
Was there a specific policy or fee structure that led to the decision to commit to Scout, or was this a gradual sort of experimental program that's demonstrated success for the county and the residents?
The decision was made to take the lowest performing routes, which, by the way, many of which should have been eliminated by Lynx themselves by their performance to begin with. You know, there are very strict guidelines about what constitutes a performing versus an underperforming route, and those are supposed to be evaluated annually. And the transit agency, I believe, is the one that's supposed to be taking the lead on recommending which routes should be canceled. So in this situation, Seminole County had to take the lead and look at the routes that needed to be eliminated that were underperforming. So that should have probably been done candidly years ago, but we took the opportunity with microtransit to go ahead and make the switch and make it a fairly drastic one because time was of the essence. We saw the forecasted budgetary increases from Lynx, their own numbers forecast that our commitment to them over the course of the upcoming 5 years was going to essentially double. And we knew that was not sustainable for us. So we had to make a decision and we made it. And then we found out how popular the decision was with so many people using it. And so we've, of course, added additional vehicles and the company has added additional drivers. And there have been hiccups. I'm not going to deny that. Implementing an entirely new transportation structure in a county is not something that goes without some type of bumps in the road, pun intended, I guess. But we're in a really great spot for only being 6 months in.
What could the elimination of property taxes mean insofar as Seminole County's current relationship with Lynx and the sustainability of the Scout program?
Well, I think the elimination of property taxes is going to bring a lot of different relationships and budgetary priorities to the table. I don't think it will just be transportation, but transportation will definitely be one of the things that we will have to look at in terms of prioritizing the dollars that are remaining. You know, all five of us as county commissioners have multiple budget work sessions every year to prioritize the very precious dollars that we have to spend that are the taxpayers' money on programs that benefit the taxpayers and on resources for them. And this is just another year like every other year, except the number that we have to prioritize and winnow down is much greater. So everything is on the table.
What would Lynx have to do to demonstrate to Seminole County that there's value in continuing this relationship?
A great question. I think one of the things would be looking at their own administrative costs and their operational costs and looking at how they can do business differently, just like all of the counties and cities are looking at how we need to do business differently every year. You know, we look at our health insurance plans for our employees. What is the plan design? How can we create efficiencies there? What positions can be combined? You know, we've eliminated positions in Seminole County government over the last 2 years. We've held our department budgets flat or a 1% increase over the last 2 years. Some department budgets actually decreased. I don't see that type of passionate, conservative fiscal philosophy in that organization right now.
So that being said, what kind of future do you see under the current status quo with Lynx?
Well, we have discussed at Seminole County Commission board meetings what our statutory responsibilities look like moving forward. And do we talk to the legislature about removing the requirement that Seminole County be a participant in Lynx so that we have a choice? You know, just like Lake County, they utilize some of Lynx services without being an actual funding partner with Lynx. I could see that as an option for Seminole in the future.
Amy Lockhart is Seminole County's District 4 Commissioner, and she sits on the Lynx Board of Directors. At an Orange County Commission meeting last week, officials discussed where cuts could be made to the county budget should November's property tax reform initiative pass. In addition to suggestions of shrinking mental health services or county fire services, the idea of reducing Lynx routes on the International Drive corridor was floated. We asked for your response to the public transit issues residents in Seminole County are facing. Listener Susan Bowden shared her frustration with what she sees as an either-or option when it comes to using buses or microtransit, saying, "I am a 65-year-old woman who increasingly hates driving. I also have a 20-year-old car that when it finally dies, I have no money in my budget to replace it. I live in Seminole County, and our primary option is Scout. I recently used the service several times when our car was not operating. For me, it was convenient and affordable since I qualify for the 50% off. However, I don't feel it's a reliable or affordable option for people who depend on public transportation to commute to work. Scout also only services Seminole County, so if your job is in Orange County, it's complicated." James from Lake Mary weighed in regarding transit services to the airport. He says, "Why can't we have a train that goes to and from MCO into a central station in Orlando City? Is it an example of years of pressure from specific business ventures standing in the way of a public need? By association, why have the SunRail service run from DeBary down to Orlando but offer no train connections to MCO? Where is the connected thinking?" And Deborah Newberry wrote in, asking to extend the Lynx Bus 36 route to Kirkman Road to allow us to get to the restaurants, shops, and entertainment without having to go all the way downtown to get a connection to get to Kirkman.
Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.